Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Australian Bitcoin Podcast. On today's show, we have Dea. She's the organizer of the coming Indonesian Bitcoin Conference. The conference will be held in October 26th and 27th in beautiful Bali. Dea, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Daniel. Happy to be here.
So how have the last few weeks been for you? I guess it must be You must be very busy.
Yeah, it's starting to get interesting because we are 2 months away before the conference. And obviously, there will be a lot of organizing and a lot of small things that we have to start preparing. But I'm really excited for this conference because this is going to be our first in-person Indonesia Bitcoin conference that happened in Indonesia.
Before we talk about the conference, let's kind of find out a little bit about who are you?
Okay, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Dea. I am currently, as Daniel mentioned, the organizer for Indonesia Bitcoin Conference. But apart from that, I'm also the chairwoman for the Indonesia Bitcoin community. So in 2021, we created this association for all Indonesian Bitcoiner to run this event. Actually, the Indonesia Bitcoin Conference already happened including right now, it will be the third Indonesia Bitcoin Conference. But the first two that we did in 2021 and 2022 were online conference. Even though it was online conference, we got like 1,000 people joining in and want to learn about Bitcoin. And it was really exciting for us because so many people really curious about Bitcoin and want to know more. And apart from that, I'm also currently the community master for a new company called Fedi. So we are creating a federation, helping like community saving for Bitcoiners. So this is what I'm currently doing. Yeah.
Why did you get interested in Bitcoin?
Sure. Yeah, I think my Bitcoin journey actually started in 2016, but I know about Bitcoin was since 2013, and at that time I just thought, well, I saw a cafe that accepted Bitcoin, and I thought that was really interesting. But that's just about it. I wish that in 2013, when I know about it, I immediately buy Bitcoin, but I don't know how to buy Bitcoin at that time. And 2016, I was actually creating my own travel agent business. And at that time, I was trying to figure out a way to accept payment from abroad, because as travel agent, I organize retreat in Bali. So we have clients from abroad, and then they whenever they need to pay me, either they pay me through bank transfer or PayPal. At that time, I think that's the only two options that is available for Indonesia. But I know that, you know, using bank transfer and PayPal was really, one, it's sometimes complicated, and then it takes so long time to receive the money. Sometimes I receive the money in 10 days, you know, depending on the bank holiday. Maybe there is a bank holiday abroad, or there's a bank holiday in Indonesia. So I stumbled upon about Bitcoin again, and I heard that at that time, you know, like you can use Bitcoin for sending money from anywhere, and it takes really fast. Like it takes maybe at minimum 10 minutes. So I thought, wow, let's try it out. So I went to a workshop, and then I learned about Bitcoin. I bought my first Bitcoin at that time, and then start integrating Bitcoin for my business. And it was really cool because I actually have two clients. That one, I did like an A/B testing. So one client pay me in Bitcoin and one client pay me in PayPal. So the one that pay me in PayPal takes 10 days. They took a lot of fees. The rates was really bad. But the one who paid me in Bitcoin, I have a Skype call. We just have this, Zoom meeting, and we decided about the rate. because the client was in Korea and I'm in Indonesia, we just decided like which what is the rate for Bitcoin that I will receive. And then he sent me the payment. In less than 10 minutes, I received the payment. I went to there is a physical OTC here in Bali. You sell that Bitcoin and immediately receive cash. So everything, like from the moment he sent me the Bitcoin until I cash it out, that takes like 30 minutes in total in comparison to 10 days using PayPal. So that was my original use case of Bitcoin, just for receiving payment. But not until 2020 when I start really dig deep into learning about Bitcoin and understand about the scarcity of Bitcoin. That's when I want to learn more. And when I start learning more, I just share my thoughts on social media. And apparently people like it. And then people start wanting to learn more about Bitcoin. So then I decided to run an education platform called Kelas Bitcoin for Indonesian. And then also hosting this type of conference, because like rather than I just teach few people, and there's also other people who teach a group of curious people to learn about Bitcoin. So we just thought like, okay, let's just come together and then
learn from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely what you say about paying people overseas, like working, that's one of the kind of use cases that has traction. There's many small businesses that I meet where they're not even into Bitcoin. They're using it for payments because they have some contractors in different countries and just using it for payments to pay those contractors who are living everywhere around the world. Makes it easier for them. So I was in Bali around, I think, 2016, and there was a pretty active community there in Ubud Bali. Is that where you came upon the...
Exactly, yeah. Cafe? 2014 till 2019, that's when Bitcoin was really booming in Bali. Like as you mentioned, place where I learned about Bitcoin was in this co-working space called Ubud. And then there are so many businesses that accepted Bitcoin around that time. But then in 2019, the government is creating a new law that prohibits people to receive payment outside of the rupiah, Indonesian rupiah, including Bitcoin. So then. Since then, like most people use Bitcoin as a saving, as an asset, even though that we like in Indonesia, they're not allowed people to use it for payment, but they really encourage people to have Bitcoin as an asset. Like Bitcoin is considered a commodity in Indonesia.
Okay, yeah. So that was the law. I heard about that was early this year or last year, that law came into effect?
No, it's actually back then in 2019, but recently it's just another, every year they make a reminder for everyone, don't accept payment in even, it's not only Bitcoin, like you cannot accept payment in dollar or euro or yen. And the reason is that Indonesia currency is quite weak. Our biggest bill is 100,000 rupiah. I know that you probably went, when you went there, you see so many zeros. And everyone in Indonesia is a millionaire because we had a hyperinflation in the past. Yeah, it really affect people. And I think that's why the reason the government trying to protect and creating a demand on their own currency, because I guess Bitcoin is really easy to use, that's for sure. So like if people can easily, use that as a method, like a replacement, like a payment method, like what I did back then, like I thought, yeah, it's really easy to just accept payment with Bitcoin. But okay. In for a government sense, I understand why they're doing it.
Okay, so the law is you can still buy and hold Bitcoin, but you're not allowed to use it as a business in transactions.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is applied to many countries, right? But what is allowed is buying and selling. So also, if you, at the end of the day, the merchant should accept rupiah, because there's still no system, there's still no accounting system based on Bitcoin. Whenever we talk about company adoption, that's always the question, like, how do you do accounting using Bitcoin? Because most of the unit of account right now, still in fiat, it's still in US dollar, in rupiah, in yen. So I think there's still a lot of steps before Bitcoin can be accepted as the mode of payment, if they are like, if we are adopting it as a unit of account.
So you always, businesses in Bali that were accepting Bitcoin, I guess they stopped accepting it after that law.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. But also, in reality, there's still a lot of businesses that still accept Bitcoin or USDT. The reason is also we have a lot of Russian and Ukrainian community right now in Bali. And since they got sanctioned, banned, that's how they get by. Like, you know, they only have crypto. So they only have either Bitcoin or USDT, and some businesses actually accepted that. But obviously, they cannot announce it, because otherwise it will deem illegal, right? And that's right. Maybe that's why you probably recently you hear about the news that there is a rate of businesses that accepted cryptocurrency payment in Bali. And yeah, they just want to make another reminder for people, do not use Bitcoin as a payment. But I think mostly people use, at the moment, like, they use USDT because, like, you know, it's stable. But what I see, what is interesting, like, in Indonesia, most people are really focusing on trading when it comes to Bitcoin and other type of crypto. And I start seeing the more and more people, more and more influencer who focusing on trading side, they tell people, like, yeah, you trade altcoin, but whenever you make the gains, save it in Bitcoin and custody that Bitcoin. So I guess that's an improvement, you know, like, not only just, yeah, trade and then exchange it to, but now they think about, well, Bitcoin is the most decentralized money, and, you know, no one can confiscate that if you custody it properly.
And these people you mentioned, are these local Indonesians and Balinese? Expats and digital nomads, or are you talking about both of them?
Both of them. But in Indonesian people in general, they still see it, Bitcoin is still merged with other cryptocurrency, and they are still very of trading for focus, especially in 2020 when there's a lockdown and then there's no job. People jump ahead to the crypto bandwagon and trying to make money through trading. And that's like how people now understand about Bitcoin and like, you know, crypto in general. But I also see right now more and more people are thinking about saving and see it Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation, because we already see it in, I think Indonesia is quite late. Like, our first exchange company was built in 2014, and most people start buying Bitcoin maybe in that 2016 era, and then more people buying it in 2020 era. So we're just still like in this two cycle of halving, where Bitcoin reward got cut in half, and then that actually, yeah, we can see the pattern, right? Like when after the Bitcoin halving, after the subsidy, after the reward got cut into half, the price goes up, and then after that going down, and they steady become a crap, and then they do it again. So Indonesia just see like two cycles of halving. And they see it like, oh, okay, it's actually a good way to store value, because the price is, you know, going up because it's scarce.
You definitely get a lot of people getting into trading, especially when there's a bull market. Mm-hmm. I remember in 2017, 2018, in that bull market, I was in Thailand in Chiang Mai. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but that's also kind of like a big expat and digital nomad hotspot similar to Bali.
Yeah.
And I remember at that, around the peak of that bull market, I went into a co-working space in Chiang Mai. And as I'm walking around, it seemed like almost every second or maybe every third person had like a trading screen on the laptop in the co-working space doing like Bitcoin trading. It was literally just everywhere I looked around, everybody has trading screens. And time I went again like a year later and everybody went back to doing e-commerce and whatever else and drop shipping.
But the cycle always happened like that. 2017 like that, 2020 like that, the 2021, everyone also, you know, goes into trading. And it's funny because they thought like, you know, they're so smart. They do this trading. They're so smart. But it's actually just, yeah, it's just the supply shock of Bitcoin. The price balance it out. And of course, the price goes up because it's getting scarce. Yeah, I found it very interesting.
Everybody makes overtraders think we're geniuses because we're making money in a bull market.
At bull market.
So what's the community scene in Bali now?
So in Bali in particular, we have regular monthly meetup called Sunset and Bitcoin. Usually we just choose like one spot, watch the sunset, talk about Bitcoin, have some drinks, beer, you know, coconut, whatever you choose. And yeah.
Sounds amazing.
We do that every 21st of every month. Oh, we got regular people coming, especially Bali is a very popular tourist destination. So there's a lot of Bitcoiner who pass by. And like last time we got Jimmy Song come to our meetup and then just share his thought. We got, several other people also that is, focusing on Bitcoin coming. But also in Indonesia in general, so we have our community that actually, you know, they join the conference and then continue the conversation. It is an online Telegram group. Right now we have around 1,500 member. And occasionally during the certain special days of Bitcoin, like last Bitcoin Pizza Day, we run like 4 meetups in different countries, in different cities, sorry. But it's very decentralized. Like, you know, we have people who are in that city and then they want to run their own meetup. Usually we do that for meetup. That's like how we are doing. And then we do like this type of events, like conference is a way for us to, gather annually.
Is that group where you said it has 1,500 members? Is that Indonesia wide or is that Bali wide?
That's Indonesia wide and all of them are locals. For meetups in Bali, since it's very international island, so there's a mix. So there's expat and then also local.
What made you want to organize the Bitcoin conference in Bali? Why did you think that was a good idea?
Well, I mean, everyone loves Bali. And I know that there's so many Bitcoin projects come out from Bali. I was talking to Max Hillebrand, the guy who created Wasabi Wallet. He said that he started coding about Wasabi Wallet in Bali. Ben from BTC Session record his first podcast in Bali. So it's a very special place for digital nomad, for people who's quite inspired. I mean, the main objective is basically to connect with Bitcoiners in Indonesia, with the global community, and We just want to bring the education part and also the networking side. And from this conference as well, we are going to run Lightning Hackathon because I think in Southeast Asia, there are a lot of good developers out there, but most of them doesn't know about Lightning. So we want to run this hackathon so people can understand about Lightning and start making their own project. And hopefully something good coming up from Indonesia and maybe Southeast Asia countries.
people aren't developers and we're not very technical and maybe we don't know much about Bitcoin, will there be anything at the conference for them?
Yeah, definitely. Things that we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about the Bitcoin basics and then why Bitcoin other than other type of asset. And we are going to talk about mining. We're going to talk about future of payments. We're going to talk about like a new way of social media using Noster and like how that integrate with Bitcoin. And we are also going to talk about the whole, the economy situation that really relevant for everyone around the world right now. Like, as you can see, the inflation or possibly recession is coming up. So like how we can really prepare for that. And for the hackathon itself, it's actually open for anyone, even if you don't have a coding skill. But if you have a great idea, you can present your idea and then, team up with people who can do coding. It's actually like we accept many people from other type of backgrounds. And then the main focus for this conference is to connect, to build, and also to learn from the Bitcoiners, the Bitcoin companies, the people who are already in the space, and just increase understanding about Bitcoin and how it's going to help you as an individual or help Indonesia as a country.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a few Bitcoin conferences, and maybe some people who haven't been might think of some kind of, if you're an accountant or some proper normal profession, and you go to a conference and it sounds very much like work. But Bitcoin conferences, it's more really like a party. It's very fun. You meet a lot of very interesting people, and it's more just an excuse to have fun together and party and meet people interested in Bitcoin, meet interesting people. So it's always very fun, the events I've been to. And I think in Bali, Bali is already such a beautiful and fun place. So I think everybody who goes there will have a blast. I'm hoping I'm going there I'm excited.
This is very cool. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have many, many fun stuff. There will be many time to learn. There will be like a lot of content for sure. But there's also a lot of opportunity to connect. Like, we're going to have social hours. We're going to have like networking night. We're going to have after party. We're going to even have like a Bitcoin sunrise run. So on the 27th, anyone who wants to join running in the, near the beach, because the venue is, it's like 5 minutes away from the beach, and we can just do like a run. There will be many opportunity to get to know each other, because that's, I think, the power of Bitcoin is actually in the community. And the best way is going to conference and then really get to know each other. Whenever I go to the conference, I always feel like, oh, I'm not the only crazy one. Or like, I finally find my friends or people who think like me. So it's a good way to build your network and make more friends.
I'll join that jog. That sounds very exciting. So, and what are some of the speakers? Are there any famous, or what kind of speakers can we expect at the conference?
Yeah, we are very fortunate. We're going to have Jack Dorsey coming in. Jack Dorsey, he is the founder of Twitter. Right now, also building the Bitcoin company called Block.inc.
So is that going to be in person or by video?
He's going to come in person. So this is, really excited. And then we are also going to have Alex Gladstein, if anyone knows in the social space, like, he's the chief strategic officer of Human Rights Foundation. We're going to have Samson Mao, who is right now leading Gen 3 for nation adoption. We have Obi Nwosu. We're going to have also Gita Wirjawan, Stefan Livera. Gita Wirjawan is actually an ex-minister of Indonesia who is really pro-Bitcoin. So we are really excited to have him. And then we're going to also have regulators to come as well to the conference and to share about like what is the regulation update and possibly also learn from Bitcoin, you know, like to get a different perspective as well. Yeah, at the moment we have like around 50 speakers. We're going to have two stages, that one stage mainly for panel and discussion, and then the other stage is for workshops. And we also going to have exhibition and bazaar, games, many, many fun stuff that we're lining up for the attendees. And most of all, as well, since it's in Bali, and Bali is very famous with its traditional art, with its music. So we are going to create a show, create an art performance show that is a mix between traditional and also modern touch. It's going to be run by Balinese itself. So we are going to tell the story of Bitcoin by the Balinese using the Balinese traditional art. So that's one of the things that we are very excited as well.
Those are some impressive speakers. Stefan Livera, he was obviously from Australia, doesn't live here anymore, but he does a podcast. Samson Mao, like he's very, like always, but a very impressive speaker list. And obviously Jack Dorsey, but I have to ask, how did you manage to convince him to come?
Well, it was quite random, actually. Like, I was actually talking to him on Noster. Well, he was on Noster. So Noster is this new social media protocol currently developing and then integrate with Bitcoin. And I was just curious. And then I used Noster. At that time, I used the Damus app. I saw him, you know, posting stuff on Noster. And I thought, like, well, maybe I talk to him one day. But one random day, he just posting about surfing. And then I thought, like, oh, maybe I just send a comment, you know, like, well, Jack, if you like surfing, come to Bali. We have a nice surf and we're also going to have Indonesia Bitcoin conference. So then he just replied to me and then said, well, I've never been to Bali. And then that post become viral. Like, everyone just keep commenting him, like, Jack, come to Bali. So then I DM him and we chat, and then he said okay, and he decided to join, and he said I'm in. So that was the story.
Okay, well, that's a good story. So yeah, it shows if you have to try, and if you don't try, you never nothing will happen, and if you try, you never know. But we have to pass that tip on to the organizers of Australian Bitcoin Conference. You know, that's held in Sydney. We have pretty good surfing in Australia also. So maybe we can tell Jack to come surfing in Australia also.
Yeah. I mean, it was a luck. It was just quite random, but I'm quite happy. And hopefully that everything's worked well. And yeah. Like, you know, we can surf together in Bali.
Yeah, you can go to Bali and surf with Jack Dorsey and talk about Bitcoin. That should be amazing. And the tickets for that, so they're pretty cheap, to be honest. It says $120. I think that's US. So $120 US, I guess that's around 160 Australian dollars. So to be honest, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah. And then that include food, that include two coffee breaks and access to like the social hours and other fun activities. So we're trying to make it balanced between the locals and also for foreigners. And if you want to do the VIP one, you can get also rooms. Like the accommodation is covered in the hotel itself. The airport transfer is covered, food and coffee break. And there's also going to have if you're buying the VIP ticket, you have a chance to have a dinner together with all the speakers with the VIP dinner event.
Okay. It should be a VIP surf with Jack option, maybe for next time.
Yeah, maybe different pricing. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's pretty cheap. And you also like you gave us a discount code. So I'll put it in the show notes, but I think the code should be Hardblock. So if you put Hardblock, you get 10% off the price of the tickets. But okay, I'll put that code in the show notes.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to share?
We are really excited for this conference. Cannot wait to hang out with all of you. And if you listen to this podcast, and if you have any question, you can email us at hello@indonesiabitcoinconference.com. You can check the website and buy the ticket at indonesiabitcoinconference.com. If this podcast is released before September 7, we're going to have a special discount to commemorate the Bitcoin as a legal tender. So if you buy the ticket with Bitcoin, you can get a 40% discount as well. So that's a good way to bargains. Yeah.
On September 7th.
September 7th. Yeah. September 7th. If you see in the website, we have two type option for buying ticket. So they're mostly for Indonesian, and then local Indonesian can buy through Megatix. But if you are a foreigner who wants to buy the ticket with Bitcoin, you can buy it through our ticketing partner, ShopinBit. And it's below there. You can go there and then you can buy with Bitcoin or with Lightning.
Yeah, so that's already a few tips on how you can get the discount. But if you want to even save some more money, so our customers, a lot of them use Superfund, Superfund is like a retirement fund in Australia. Mm-hmm. So for customers who use their Superfund to invest in Bitcoin, as far as I understand, if you invest in Bitcoin, you can put educational trips onto the cost of running your Superfund. So basically you can use your Superfund money to fund that actual trip to Bali, the ticket and the flight tickets. You should be able to use your Superfund to fund that as part of your education in investing in Bitcoin. Obviously, consult your accountant if you do plan to do that. I'm not an accountant, but that is my understanding for people who use the Super to invest in Bitcoin. So that's just another tip.
That's a good tip. I didn't know that Australia have that.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Okay, just one last question. What do you think is the attendance? What do you expect?
We want to make it like a medium-sized conference. So we are hoping to have around 500 to 700 people to attending the event. At the moment, more people is going to buy ticket closer to date. But I believe that we are going to have around that amount of people. I like small, medium-sized conference because that's when you can get to know everyone closely. I went to the Bitcoin Miami, even though I love Bitcoin Miami, but it was too big. Like, there was like 10,000 people there. And I think Bitcoin Australia, Bitcoin Alive conference was also around that number, right? Like around
100
people. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Dia, for coming on and talking about the conference. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be there. I invite people to come along. I think you learn about Bitcoin and meet a lot of cool people, have fun. I meet a lot of people who want to be involved in Bitcoin industry, working in Bitcoin, and people ask me how to do that. So if you're somebody like that who wants to work in the industry, I think going to conferences is the best way, because you actually meet people, you show proof of work by going there.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks again for coming on, and I will see you in a few months in Bali.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and yeah, I'll see you soon in Bali.
That's it for today's episode. I really hope you got something out of that. Give us a review on your podcast player. That would really help us out. And happy stacking, and see you next time.